The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Wow. Okay, all right.
Oh, thank you for joining the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are back from a three-day hiatus, and we are ready, folks. It is 90 degrees in the city of Chicago. That introduction is just astounding. You know, I mean, that's something that's laid back. The previous one was not laid back, and that was a little bit laid back. And I like that. I like it. And all right, let's move on. Okay, it is 90 degrees. It's been 90 degrees for the last few days, few weeks in the city of Chicago. It's going to be that way for another day or so, and it's going to drop a little bit, not much, and it's going to get back up into the 90s, to the 90s. And it's beautiful. It is wonderful. It is great in Chicago, and I hope it's beautiful where you are, weather-wise. And you're having a great time. Like I've said this 1,000 times before, if it's beautiful, if it's wonderful, if it's weather permitting, get out there and enjoy the weather as much as you can, because winter is coming. Did I say that? Did I actually say that? Okay, I did. And it's true. Winter is coming. So enjoy as much as these great days, these wonderful weather days as possible, because, you know, it's going to get worse. Nothing seems to get better. It gets worse. Then maybe get a little bit better, but it gets a lot worse soon. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. If you've been listening to my show, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to the show itself. And thank you for your kind words, and all of those who have reviewed some of my material on Amazon, thanks for all of that, especially the positive ones, the 5-star ones. But thanks for all of that. And you can always find me on Facebook right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn, all of that kind of good stuff. And, you know, I've been looking at my computer, and every time I turn it on, it's saying download Windows 10. I already have Windows 10 on one of these things. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Windows 10, Microsoft's Windows 10 is not that great of a product. And I think Microsoft is getting their butts handed to them because of this. And this is why they are offering upgrades and updates to this Windows 10 thing, because they're getting so many. I've downloaded Windows 10 on both of my computers. I have Windows 7, which I downloaded Windows 10 on, and it totally mucked up the computer. My drivers were not working. My CD drive didn't work anymore. There were certain things that, you know, didn't work. Sometimes where you slide your hand across to get the cursor to move, that did not work, and it still doesn't work. But I still have Windows 10 on here, on one of them. But the computer that I actually use for my, you know, actual broadcast, this is a Windows 7, which I totally love. I think Windows 7 is better than 8, and it totally outdoes Windows 10. You know, so I'm on Windows 7, so a very old processing system, but it's one that works for me, okay? Because I've tried 8, It stunk. I've tried 10. It stunk even more. So I'm on Windows 7, and it is great, and I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to put Windows 8 or 10 on here. I don't care how much Microsoft harasses me to do that. It's my computer. I paid for it. It's my internet. I'm paying for it. It's my radio show. I'm paying for it. They cannot try to tell me what to do. And so if you've got Windows 10 and it's working for you, that's good. But I know so many other people who have Windows 10 and they have the same gripes I have. Some of the gripes are even a lot worse than the gripes that I have. You know, so I still have Windows 10 on the Windows 8 computer. I'm going to, you know, obviously at some point when I get time, I'm going to uninstall it and put Windows 8 back on, because Windows 8 to this point is a lot better than Windows 10, although Microsoft is constantly sending me updates to Windows 10. So therefore, I might try that out to see if it's going to do anything to make things better on this other laptop computer I have. But the Windows 7 is going to stay the way it is, you know. So I have two or three computers that I look at when I'm on the air. I have a television and a video camera over here, so you know, so I'm staying informed with what breaking news that may go on, that may happen. So I'm in pretty good company when it comes to technology, especially doing the radio show. Okay, I've been asked to move my show to other outlets and to do this and do that, and I was even asked to be on television, and and all of this is nice, and all of this is great, and I appreciate everybody who thinks that this show is a show to be reckoned with around the country. That's a great thing, and I want to say thank you to all of those folks, and I want to say thanks to the folks who've given me great reviews on some of my books and stories on Amazon.com, folks who are on Facebook and LinkedIn who have been so gracious in saying nice things about me and the show. I mean, all of this works. All of it works. So I have to thank people when I come on the air. I have to thank these people, and you know, because I have to show that I appreciate this, and I really do. And I take nothing for granted, nothing whatsoever. One thing, I can't even say it. Nothing whatsoever I take for granted. So thanks every. Thank you, everybody, for your accolades, and even thank the ones who are critical of the show and critical of me. Because I try to learn something from both sides, whether you're being critical or negative. I learn something from every one of you out there. You leave a comment in my email box or my inbox, or you know, you whatever, you know, mail me a letter or whatever. You know, it all works for me, and I learn from everything, you know, and I'm glad to hear some people said that they learned from me. Because this show, like I've said several times, this show is about one thing, and that's making the world a better place. And Lord knows we need the world needs to be made a better place, because they are still talking about the shootings of these five police officers in Dallas. This is still going on, and people are Black Lives Matters. They're all over the place. They're protesting everywhere, even in Chicago as I speak. They're down there protesting. I want to say this to some people who say that the people who are involved with Black Lives Matters are thugs and hoodlums. They are not. And I'm not saying this because I'm African American. I'm saying it because it's true. A lot of people want to put these people in a category of being bad people. They are not bad people. They are out there trying to bring attention to something that has been going on with the police department for a hell of a long time, and that's the shooting and the killing of African American people at the hand of white police officers. And I see their point. I see their point. But there are so many people out here are trying to say that they're a bad group of people. They're not. Majority of them are young people. Young people who are still in high school. Young people who are out of grammar and high school kids. You know, and college students. You know, And I've even seen some elderly people out there, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old out there supporting Black Lives Matter. So Black Lives Matter, you know, some of these politicians, especially Republican politicians, are saying awful, untrue and unnecessary things about this group. And it's totally unfair. Black Lives Matter. Okay, now listen to me. Black Lives Matter matters. It means just what it's saying. Black Lives Matter. But if you want to go even further, you can say all lives matter, no matter what color you are, white, brown, pink, yellow. Every life is precious. But here, they're talking about two young men being point blank shot, cold-blooded murder by two white officers. And this is what sparked what went on in Dallas. We all know that. We all know that. But you've got politicians who are trying to make a big thing out of this as if it's us against them. Black Lives Matters. This group, peaceful group, they are not anti-police. They are anti-police brutality. This is what they're out there for. I myself, there was a time when I was all in with the police. You know, I mean, I was on their side every time they locked up a crook. Because in my mind, that crook probably deserved to be locked up. But now I'm kind of changing my stance on police officers. Okay, they're always saying that police officers are not, all police officers are not, do not behave the way some police officers do. That might be true. On every police force, there's always bad apples. And more likely, the good cops know who the bad cops are. If the good cops do not say anything about the bad cops being in their unit or the bad cops that they know are there, then the good cops become bad cops, in my estimation. We're not talking about gun control here, folks. We're talking about racism and police brutality. However, some people are trying to, you know, say that the Black Lives Matters caused the killings of these five officers in Dallas. That's totally untrue. Sarah Palin is saying that Black Lives Matters, they're thugs and criminals. They are not. They are not. They're out there for one thing, to try to stop police brutality. And police brutality has been out here not for 6 months, not for a year, not for 10 years, 20 years, 30. Police brutality has been out here forever. The only thing that's exposing police brutality are video cameras and phone cameras. That's what's exposing it. That's what's telling us, that it's more pervasive than we thought it was. And that's all Black Lives Matter is about, are about. They are not anti-police. They do not hate the police. We know that we need the police. The police can do some great things. We are taxpayers. We are paying their salaries. Black Lives Matter, they are not against the police. They are against police brutality. This is why they are out there. And for anybody, I don't care if it's a politician, anyone, to say that they're not out there to stop or to bring attention to police brutality is crazy. So that's what it's all about. It's nothing more than that. But some people want to make a little bit more than what it is. Because Black Lives Matter, they're protesting all over the country. all over the country, and you got some police officers who are disrupting those protests. And the Constitution says that you can freely assemble as long as you don't, you know, basically, as long as you don't start any trouble. So a lot of these police officers, even now as I speak, are depriving some of these matter groups their constitutional right. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. It is beautiful out here in Chicago, folks. So, you know, it is beautiful, no matter, you know, the violence in the world. And it's a lot of it. It is a hell of a lot of it. And that's why I'm going to always call this show a place where we can try and make the world a better place, one show at a time. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. But it's going to take you. It's going to take you to help people like me and, you know, all over the world to try to make the world a better place, because there's a lot of people out here who are doing that, who are actually doing things to make the world a better place. And that's what it's all about, folks, is making the world a better place one show at a time. And I actually think that some of these Black Lives Matter groups, I think some of them are trying to make the world a better place too, by highlighting and trying to get some of the police brutality to stop. Because this shooter in Dallas, this is what ignited his warped attitude. I think he was crazy. I think he was just mentally ill to do something like that. No, I do not condone killing five cops, killing police officers at all. No, I do not. But I do not also want to hear and see policemen gunning down black men, murdering black people of color, people of color. So this is sort of a two-way street here. I've had people get angry at me because I said that police should stop shooting down, killing and murdering African-Americans, young men. I'm going to get that kind of stuff. I'm going to get that kind of feedback, you know, because I do say a lot of controversial things on this show. It's my show. I can say what I want. You can disagree. You can listen. That's up to you, you know, but I'm going to say what I want. All righty. This show is about Michigan shootings. All right. Chicagoans overtaxed and John McGrill and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, we got some words missing there. But anyway, we just got through talking about Black Lives Matter, and we're talking about now the Michigan shootings. Let's see if we can get anything on the Michigan shootings. We will be right back, folks. Stay with me. All right, Michigan deadly courthouse shooting. Once again, another tragedy in the United States of America. Wow, three people dead, Barrington County, Michigan. Inmate, okay, this is what they said happened at this courthouse. Okay, a prisoner was being transferred. Somehow he grabbed a deputy sheriff's gun and start firing. Three people dead, inmate. Okay, three people dead. This was a prisoner transfer. Two court bailiffs, one deputy sheriff. You know, and now they want to know, how did the inmate get the gun? They're saying that they have to do some more investigation. Obviously, the deputy. I mean, it's simple logic, folks. It's simple physics. I mean, if you're transferring a prisoner from A to Z, and you are a deputy sheriff or you're a police officer in general, you're going to secure your weapon to make sure that, you know, that an inmate or a prisoner that you're transferring will not be able to grab it. So that protocol, that was missed. That was a mistake on the part of the guard to where his weapon was so easily confiscated. And this inmate, who we are still yet to learn the name of, you know, killed these people. You know, you would think that if you're transferring, I'm going to say this again, if you're transferring prisoners, inmates from one place to the next, and you're a law officer and you have a gun on your side, you would kind of secure that gun, you know, to your side. So, you know, these guys, these murderers, these criminals, these prisoners will not be able to take it off your person. Somehow that didn't happen. And we got people dead. So we're going to stay on top of this. This is the Berrien County in Michigan. Shooting, three dead. Inmate grabbed a deputy's gun. Wow. This was during a prisoner transfer from one place to the next, you know, so obviously from jail to court. And two bailiffs who were also police officers were killed. And my thinking is that the officer who had his gun taken should have secured it a lot better than what he had in order to prevent this. Okay? All right. It's an argument. What can I say? All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Brian Gumbel is this guy from one of the morning shows, maybe ABC or America or something. I can't think of it right now. But he was saying something to the fact on police brutality. And he is afraid that his son may be a victim of police brutality, you know. And there are so many people out here are saying those with sons, I have a son, should watch your step. Because your son, a teenage son, is more likely to get killed by people in the neighborhood than being shot by a police officer. You know what? I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But still, that doesn't dismiss police brutality and police cold-blooded murder. It still doesn't do a damn thing to solve that dilemma. All right, here's Brian Gumbel.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame, you know, in the case of Garner. Well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was bad. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. We're in a culture where police officers, it's us against them. And that should not be. It should not be us against them. We are all on this earth together. We should be working together to solve the problems and the situations that we find ourselves in. Okay? It should never come down to that. Yeah, every time my son steps out here on the street, he goes to school, he goes to his job, or wherever he goes, you know, I'm wondering if he's going to come walking back through that door. There's no doubt about that, because I know what's out here. I know the police will stop him just for merely walking down the street because he's African American. And then may try to provoke him to do something or to act a certain way so they can, you know, feel justified in drawing their weapon, maybe firing on him. Yeah. It's a mess. It's a tragedy. It's something that I think is going to get better. I do think, from my opinion, I do think that the police and the community, I do think that they, that their communications, they are going to get better. It's going to get better. It can't get any worse. Once a lot of this stuff dies down, The police shootings, the riots, the rallies, once this stuff dies down, I do think there's going to be a real, real effort between the community and the police to get this thing right, okay? To get this right. All right, you've been listening to the George Wanda Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Thanks for listening.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wanda Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Oh, well, I just had to play that introduction again because it's a new introduction, and it may work, it may not work, but we're going to work on it again because it's great. It's great. All right. I've been talking about young teenage blacks have more of a chance of being shot down by those in their neighborhoods and communities than the police officers. And that is true. But there is too much police brutality out here. It is too much. And for politicians in high places to try to justify this and to say this was the black, it was his fault or it was her fault, when you can see on video that this is just not right, and it is not, it's just not right. It's just not right.
This is an ABC News special report. Now reporting, George Stephanopoulos.
And we are coming back on the air right now because we are told that the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, will appear momentarily right there at the Justice Department. Of course, she is going to speak on that horrific shooting overnight in Dallas, when at least one sniper targeted police officers, attacking 14 of them, killing five, injuring seven police officers, two civilians injured as well last night in Dallas. There is a shooter identified, Micah Xavier Johnson, 25 years old, an Army reservist from Mesquite, Texas. He was killed by police after several hours of negotiations. Three other suspects are now in custody as well, but officials in Dallas not saying much about why those suspects are in custody, what they are saying. They are saying that the suspects are being tight-lipped and law enforcement officials being tight-lipped about that as well. I want to go to Matt Gutman, who is on the scene in Dallas right now. The entire city right now, an active crime scene.
Exactly, George. I mean, the crime scene itself probably spans about 20 square blocks, and we just walked over there to survey the area, and there are literally dozens of crime scene and evidence cones scattered about this area. Cops are everywhere. There are officers on every single street corner, and we got to see the spot where apparently the C4 explosives were used to neutralize that sniper on the second story of El Centro College. The blast so powerful there not only shattered the windows of that building, but shattered the windows across the street as well. And right beneath that shooting gallery where they're apparently sniping at officers are at least two squad cars shot to pieces, and at least one of the officers was killed in those squad cars. And we saw bullet casings and bullet holes from that alleged sniper at least 100 yards away. So this is a massive crime scene, and officers, the FBI, ATF, others are still meticulously trying to comb through it and figure out what happened. And one officer with whom I spoke said this is the first time that she's actually been afraid to come to work because she doesn't know who else is out there.
Well, who else is out there? That's the police chief made that point as well. Also, Micah Johnson had said that he had planted explosives around the site as well. But so far, police have found nothing, correct?
No, they found nothing so far that we've been able to tell, but the officers with whom I spoke said that what they have seen, the video they've seen of this alleged shooter, he seemed to walk around and move very tactically like he was militarily trained. And of course, we've now learned that Johnson was a military reservist, but so far we've understood that they have found no explosives at the scene of the crime, George.
Pierre Thomas, you cover the Justice Department, our senior justice correspondent. The Attorney General has now delayed the statement a couple of times this morning. This is quite personal to her as well.
Exactly, George. She wants to express great support for law enforcement in this time of sorrow. And also she knows this comes against the backdrop of those fatal police shootings involving men of color. So she's got to thread the needle today to talk about both these scenarios. But she will be talking about the support that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies at the federal level will be giving the Dallas PD to help them solve this. And again, they still have a situation where they have the name and ID of the deceased suspect. But you also have to make sure that he has no associates or anyone else who was willing to help him. These three suspects, we yet don't know if they will be charged. They could have been just caught up in this, and it's a fluid situation, and they could be released. These situations are fluid. That often happens. But the fact that they were tight-lipped gives law enforcement some pause, and believe me, no one's going anywhere until law enforcement knows everything they feel like they need to know.
Can't take any chances with that. The Attorney General not expected to take any questions. Pierre, any possible concrete policy announcements today?
Well, one of the things I'm looking for is whether she announces whether this is going to be a civil rights investigation. If you take the suspect at his word that he killed police officers because they were white or that he wanted to kill, quote, white people, that is an avenue that she can pursue. Again, there are so many things that remain fluid here, but I think the Attorney General wants to speak to the nation in part because she realizes that this is a pivotal moment, that this is a week that many hope we would never see, but we're yet having it again.
John Carl at the White House, the president has already spoken out twice in the last 24 hours on these shootings. First, the shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota, and early this morning on the shootings in Dallas as well. He's overseas on what was supposed to be a several-day trip. Any indication yet on whether those plans are changing?
There's active consideration to cutting that trip short, George. No decision has been made. But you heard in the president's words about this shooting in Dallas, calling it vicious, calculated, despicable. And now we hear from the Attorney General.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for being here today. Last night, at least five police officers were shot and killed. Several more were injured, along with two civilians, as they sought to protect a peaceful protest in Dallas, Texas. Our thoughts and our prayers and condolences go out to the families of those who have lost loved ones. The Department of Justice, including the FBI, ATF, the U.S. Marshals Service, and the U.S. Attorney's Office on the scene, is working closely with our state and local counterparts, and we intend to provide any assistance that we can to investigate this attack and also to help heal a community that has been severely shaken and deeply scarred by an unfathomable tragedy. This is an unfolding situation. We'll be providing additional information when it is available and appropriate. But more so, this has been a week of profound grief and heartbreaking loss. The peaceful protest that was planned in Dallas last night was organized in response to the tragic deaths of Alton Sterling in Louisiana and Philando Castile in Minnesota. Now, we've opened a civil rights investigation in Louisiana, and we're providing assistance to local authorities in Minnesota who are leading the investigation there. And today, we are feeling the devastating loss of Dallas area Rapid Transit Officer Brent Thompson and four other fallen officers whose names remain unreleased as we await notification to all of the families. Now, after the events of this week, Americans across our country are feeling a sense of helplessness, of uncertainty, and of fear. And these feelings are understandable and they are justified, but the answer must not be violence. The answer is never violence. Rather, the answer, our answer, all our answer, must be action. Calm, peaceful, collaborative, and determined action. We must continue working to build trust between communities and law enforcement. We must continue working to guarantee every person in this country equal justice under the law. And we must take a hard look at the ease with which wrongdoers can get their hands on deadly weapons and the frequency with which they use them. And we must reflect on the kind of country that we want to build and the kind of society that we are choosing to pass on to our children. And above all, we must reject the easy impulses of bitterness and rancor and embrace the difficult work, but the important work, the vital work, of finding a path forward together. And above everything, we must remind ourselves that we're all Americans, and that as Americans, we share not just a common land, but a common life, not just common goals, but a common heart and soul. And those we've lost this week have come from different backgrounds, different neighborhoods, but today they're mourned by officers, by residents, by family and friends, by men and women and children who loved them, who needed them, and who will miss them always. They are mourned by all of us. To the families of all who've lost their lives in this series of tragedies, we share your pain and your loss. To our brothers and sisters who wear the badge, I want you to know that I am deeply grateful for the difficult and dangerous work that you do every day to keep our streets safe and our nation secure. Our hearts are broken by this loss, and the Department of Justice will do all that we can to support you in the days ahead. And to those who seek to improve our country through peaceful protest and protected speech, I want you to know that your voice is important. Do not be discouraged by those who would use your lawful actions as a cover for their heinous violence. We will continue to safeguard your constitutional rights and to work with you in the difficult mission of building a better nation and a brighter future. And to all Americans, I ask you, I implore you, do not let this week precipitate a new normal in this country. I ask you to turn to each other, not against each other, as we move forward. Let us support one another. Let us help heal one another. And I urge you to remember today and every day that we are one nation, we are one people, and we stand together. May God bless the families and the loved ones of all who were taken from us this week and comfort their grief with his everlasting grace.
All right, that was the Attorney General of the United States, you know, and I totally agree with her. I don't think that we should turn against each other. We should turn to each other. We are Americans. No matter what color we are all brothers and sisters here. And we shouldn't be fighting and killing and maiming each other. We shouldn't be. It just shouldn't happen. It's like a civil war. We're within America. We should all heed what she has said. And I know I do. And I'm going to say this again. Black Lives Matter is, in my estimation, is a group that I believe is needed. I'm going to say once again, they are not about anti-police. They will tell you that. They're not anti-police. They are anti-police brutality, as we all should be. I mean, you've got some politicians going around saying that they're thugs, they're criminals, they are hoodlums. They're not. They're young kids out of grammar school, high school, junior colleges, universities, who are concerned about their country, as we all should be. As we all should be. Nobody's gloating because five police officers were killed in Dallas. Nobody's gloating about that. If they are, then, you know, that's them. But the majority of the Americans, they're not gloating over this. They're not gloating over what just took taken place in Michigan. We need police officers, but we don't need them to be brutal. We don't need them to gun down people of color because they have a gun. We don't need police officers making the situation a lot worse than what it is and then lying about it. These things have happened, and they will happen. Sure, we need police officers, but they have a part to play in all of this. Racial profiling should be outraged, should be limited. It's too much of that going on, too much of racial profiling. Stopping a person while walking, stopping anybody because they're black and they're driving a car. This should be outlawed, and everyone should be outraged at this. And it's all about making the world a better place. I can't do it by myself. You're going to have to help me do it, okay? And we need people to get up off the couch, to put down the cell phone, turn off the television, and get out here in the streets and make a difference in your community. Make a difference in your neighborhood. Do not sit around waiting for someone to give you something. It ain't going to happen. No one's going to knock on your door and give you $1 million. Stop waiting for someone to fight your battles. Fight your own battles. You know, fight your own battles. Fight the battles of having a better community. Fight the battle of having a better police force. The battle of having better representatives in Congress. Fight the battle of having better schools. Better police department, better fire department. Fight those battles. And fight them for yourself. You know, you got too many people laying around on the couch doing nothing, blah, 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 doing nothing. And they're not, you know, getting involved in a community. Helping those who need help. We have to help people. I've told one of the guests I had on the show, I think, a few days ago, that what is it for you to be placed on this earth if you cannot help another man or woman out who is seeking that help? Help someone. That's one of the ways of making the world a better place. You know, it takes you, just like Michael Jackson said, the man in the mirror, you, me. It's us that's going to make this world a better place, not television or face down in a cell phone. You know, I mean, it's going to take some action. Get out there in your community. Get out there in the world. Make a difference. We're all going to die. So if we're going to die, once you're dead, you want people to remember you, remember that you are here. They can do that by you making a difference. A positive difference in your community, a positive difference in your neighborhood, a positive difference in your country. There are so many people out here right now who are doing exactly what I'm saying, but I'm talking to the ones who are not. the ones who are doing exactly what I'm saying, they know who they are. They're out here helping our youth, keeping them off the streets, keeping them out of trouble, keeping them safe, keeping them from ever wanting to join a gang, or keeping them from ever wanting to pick up a gun and go out and shoot someone. We have to do this. We cannot sit back and wait and hope and that somebody else is going to do it for us. It ain't going to happen. It'd be better if you get up and you get out there and make a difference in your community and drag other people along with you. Hey, wow, I'm going down to my alderman's office and I'm going to see how I can make a difference in my community. Volunteer your time. Sometimes volunteering your time is a lot better than if you actually donated a few dollars, which is good. But giving all your effort, it's great. Maybe you don't have all your effort to give some of it, a third of it maybe, but do something. It's going to take all of us to try to make the world a better place. But it can be done through us. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, make the world a better place. That's all it's about. So this is the talk of our times, folks. This is social commentary. Anything goes. Anything goes mean that you can I can talk about just about anything I want. You call in, which is 347-857-1762. You can talk about anything you want. All right, Donald Trump stands by police. Of course, that's nothing new. We're all standing by police. However, Donald Trump is saying a lot of things which I wish President Obama would say. Okay? Donald Trump is saying that, he loves police officers and we're going to do everything we can to build them up. That's great. That's wonderful. I wish Obama could talk point blank and be just as pointed as Donald Trump is. Of course, I would never vote for Donald Trump. But in tragedies like this, he is poised. He is straight and direct. Obama don't know how to be straight and direct. Actually, Obama's response to some of these tragedies out here has been, I'm with Cornel West. Some of his responses have been totally weak. He's been up there muttering, in front of the microphone, in front of the world. About some of these tragedies. Maybe he's deeply hurt or something. But in this time and what's happening this time, you can't afford to be weak. You cannot afford to look like you've been through a washing machine or something, a dryer. You can't afford to look like that. You got to stand tall, be tall. You got to stick your chest out, be straight and direct on what's happening in America. Obama's weak. I mean, he's just not presidential from my standpoint. OK, there's a lot of there's quite a few of African-American high influential leaders who are criticizing Obama, not just with his response to these tragedies, but just in general when it comes to African-Americans. Especially African Americans in the communities and the neighborhoods. Obama is someone who likes parties. He likes to give out medals. He likes to meet with heads of state. But when it comes to America and its people, especially people of color, he barely wants to open his mouth and speak about it. We've said so many times that Obama should come to Chicago and go to the west and south side of the city, some of these very high crime neighborhoods, and talk to some of these brothers and sisters about putting the guns down. His word will reverberate around the world, but he will not do it. And these brothers will heed his word. We've been trying to get Obama to come to our communities and talk to some of these brothers and sisters for as long as he's been in office. He will not do it. And I'm not the only one that's been doing it. It's been some Jesse Jackson has been trying to do it. Some of our aldermen have been trying to do it to quell some of the violence in our communities, maybe even to quell some of the violence against police officers, some of the violence that police officers put on African-Americans. You know, so, I mean, in my estimation, Obama cannot wait until he's out of office. I know Michelle is enthusiastic about being out of office. You know, but I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm not an Obama fan. I voted for the guy twice. The second time I voted for him, I held my nose and voted for him because I didn't want to see Mitt Romney, because he'd have been a really worse choice, a real worse choice. But we need Obama to step up in the community. We need Obama. He's got about how many, six, 7 more months in? We need Obama to step up now to do something about the violence in our communities, to do something about the police shootings, to do something about just violence in general. We need him to step up. He acts as if he has no power. He has power. He has the executive powers that we've given him. He will not use them. He acts as if he's helpless. Oh, the Republicans won't let me do this. The Republicans won't let me do that. You don't need the Republicans. He doesn't need, let me say this, he doesn't need the Republicans to do every damn thing. He has powers. He can do some things without them. But he wants to compromise. You know, I mean, he wants to compromise with people who will not compromise with him. But still and all, we need the President of the United States to step in. This is his country. We voted for him. He should step in and with something, ideas or something to stop the violence that's going on. And I'm talking about, terrorism too. Terrorism, violence of any kind. He needs to step in, step up, or get out. You know, do something, Obama. Just don't just come up to the microphone every time somebody gets slaughtered and say how hurt and sorry you are, looking all dejected as if it as if you were somehow hurt by this. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for Obama to get on television to be looking all dejected. I know I'm going to get a lot of people, well, he's human, he has feelings. But still, he's the President of the United States. He's supposed to be strong. He's supposed to look strong. He's supposed to be of stature. He can always say he's hurt and he's disappointed, but he doesn't have to look the part. He's the President of the United States. Looking the part for being dejected and sad and melancholy, that's for you and me, not for the President of the United States. I know I'm going to get a lot of blowback on that, but that's the way I feel on that. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just, he's covered. They killed my boyfriend. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket. And he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet. And the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for Beth. I will, sir. No worries. I will.
Fuck.
He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Ma'am, exit the car right now with your hands up. Let me see your hands. Exit now. Keep them up. Keep them up.
Where's my daughter? You got my daughter?
Face away from me and walk backwards. Walk backwards towards me. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Get on your knees. Get on your knees.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show, folks. We're broadcasting live out of Chicago, and I'm looking at my computer and it says Donald Trump's calling himself, "I am the law and order candidate." I don't know, man. What I think here is that Donald Trump and a lot of the Republicans are making political hay out of these tragedies, out of these shootings. Okay, he's making political hay out of these shootings. He's trying to score political points by doing this, and that's a shame. That really is a shame. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right.
Donald Trump declared himself the law and order candidate at a campaign event Monday in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Okay, I'm quoting him here. "We must maintain law and order at the highest level, or we will cease to have a country. 100%. Okay, or we will not have a country. Put it that way, you know. So, as if he's going to be Mr. Magic, right? Monday's event was eventually billed as a speech on Veterans Affairs, but it was given a new focus on law enforcement and crime following the shooting deaths last week of 5 police officers. That's one of the things I noticed, that a lot of talk has been elevated to just the 5 police officers being killed in Dallas. I mean, you hear a lot of chatter. You hear a lot of talk about that, especially in a political circle, the 5 police officers. But you do not hear much of the 2 African-Americans who were stopped by the police and shot. You don't hear much about Anton Sterling. You don't hear much about in the political world. If you are going to hear about these 2, it will be probably through protesting and Black Lives Matter. You know, so you don't hear much about those 2 incidents, those where police just drew their guns and just gunned these brothers down. You know, so you don't hear much about that. You hear a lot about the 5 policemen that were shot. All right, Monday's event. "Not only am I the law and order candidate," this is Donald Trump, "I'm also a candidate of compassion. Believe it, folks," Donald Trump. The candidate of compassion, but you can't have true compassion without providing safety for the citizens of our country. He may get some political points out of this. He may even get voters out of this. Because at this point, from my estimation, Donald Trump is sounding a hell of a lot better than Barack Obama. You know, he's sounding a hell of a lot better than Barack Obama. Like I just got through stating a little earlier into the show, a lot of us are just so disappointed in Barack Obama. It's unnerving. I know his approval ratings are at 50%, but it could be higher. Higher. Okay, I'm still quoting Donald here. Compassion might not be the first word that people associate with the real estate mogul. Yeah, that's right. I don't believe Donald Trump to be compassionate. Only thing Donald Trump is trying, and like Donald Trump and other Republicans are doing, is trying to make this a political thing because he's running for president of the United States. Another thing, I wish Hillary Clinton would come out to be as forceful as Donald Trump is now, because this is how Democrats lose the White House. They do not, when punches are thrown at them, they do not fight back. And when you do not fight back, you lose. You lose. Donald Trump is fighting. And in my estimation, Obama and Hillary are not. And this is how they lose. Donald Trump could easily wind up being president of the United States because he's saying on these tragedies, he's saying what people want to hear. He's saying what people want to hear. People don't want to see Obama all dejected and feeling hurt and you know, for these tragedies. Like, for these tragedies, that's okay for you and me, but he's the president. He's got to show some resolve. He's got to stand up there with his chest out. Hey, wow, we're going to get this. We're going to stop this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. This is not happening in my America. Calm down, everybody. This has got to stop. We're going to get to the bottom. He has to be direct. Stop being presidential for a while, Obama. And tell it like it is. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear you to tell it like it is. Be blunt. Be strong. But Obama can't seem to do that because he doesn't want to do that. He wants White House parties. He wants to give out medals. He wants to meet with heads of state. He wants to bomb Syria. He wants to bomb Iraq. He wants to bomb the hell out of ISIS, which is okay. But he has America to also deal with. He's got to deal with America. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is great. It is the weather is so great in Chicago, you know, and I hope it's good where you are. I truly do. I hope it's good where you are. We're going to take a break right now, and we will be right back. Don't get up. By declaring himself the law and order candidate, Trump has ripped a page from the campaign playbook of Richard Nixon, who successfully ran for presidency, the presidency in 1968, the law and order candidate. So, I don't know. Trump seems like he's always copying someone else. You know, he just can't seem to come up with his own original ideas. He's got to go after somebody else's, you know, and this is not the first time he's ripped apart somebody else's saying and use it for his own campaign. But I will say this, he's saying what I would like to hear Obama say, or I would like to hear Clinton say. Who knows? This campaign is, what, 3 or 4 months ahead of us? Maybe something like that would happen. How many of you out there are waiting for the Olympics? I know I am. I know I am. Simone Biles, that's my favorite. If you guys watch the trials, Simone Biles, if I'm saying her name correctly, I think she is she's the best. This is her team. You know, it's 4 or 5 other members that have actually finally made the cut to go to Rio. But she is just awesome, just as cute and pretty as she can be, but she's talented. She's the most talented of all of them. However, a lot of us did not think that Gabby Douglas was going to make the cut, because she has been making mistakes left and right throughout the trials. You know, I'm thinking that the judges felt sorry for her and let her in. You know, I mean, she made mistake after mistake after mistake. She kept falling off those bars. I forget what you call those bars. I don't think it was the uneven bars. I think it was the straight bar, you know, where they was doing flips and things like that on the bar. She fell twice. But however, she was good when she was, running and turning flips on that white square mat. I think she was good at that. But she made a lot of mistakes, and I was surprised that she – I wanted to see her go to the Olympics, but I didn't think she was going to make it. But somehow they felt sorry for her, and she made it. And she was – after she found out that she had made it, that she was going to Rio, she was crying all the way through. She couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. No one else could believe it. But Gabby Douglas, for the second time, is going to be an Olympian, you know, regardless of whether she, you know, do a good job or not. Because if she doesn't do a good job, the other girls on the team will pull up her slack. That's where I see that one, you know. So, but Simone Biles, I think America is going to win another Olympic medal. I mean, because this young lady, I think she's 16, 17 years old. This young lady is so talented. It's crazy. It is crazy. And I just can't wait until the Olympics start. I think they're going to be starting August 5th. You know, we try to watch the Olympics every 4 years. Every time it comes around, we try to watch the Olympics. But we very seldom watch the trials. But we did this time. However, Simone Biles, I don't know how much more I can actually, you know, say this, but she was just wonderful. And if you don't know who Simone Biles is, you know, just go on your computer and Google her name. Google 2016 Olympics, real, you know, and it'll come up. She is great. She is great. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back, folks. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
This is funny, and this is funny, folks. To me, it's funny, and it's unbelievable. Netflix is going to make it a federal crime to share your password. I'm pretty sure you've probably heard of this. If you haven't, then you've heard of you heard it from me on the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's crazy. Netflix is going to be a federal crime to share your password. Can they really do that? I've given up Netflix years ago. I don't want any parts of Netflix. You know, I used to deal with them that monthly. I think it was $8.99 a month for to watch as many movies as you want. That was cool. I mean, it was okay, but somehow I just, you know, washed my hands of Netflix. But still in all, I don't have to worry about this because I don't have Netflix anymore. I gave it up. But anyway, and I'm glad I did give it up. This is crazy. You're going to go to prison if you share your password. How ridiculous is that? You know, how are they going to get this implemented? How this is going to become law? Give me a break. This is stupidity. I think this is Netflix trying to say, you know, because if you share your password, if you have Netflix and you're sharing your password, that means that anybody that you want can get into your account, your Netflix account, and watch a movie. They don't want that. They don't want everybody being able to access your friends, your family, accessing your account to watch Netflix movie. They want everybody to pay. They just want you to be watching it. You know, it's all about money, folks. This is about money, sticking their hands in your pocket, pulling out your money. That's what this is all about. You know, because this is totally ridiculous, a federal crime. There should be there's a lot more criminals out here than, you know, somebody sharing their Netflix password with their with a family member or something. Wow. So, like I've said, I don't have to worry about it because I canceled my Netflix account years ago, 1 or 2 years ago anyway. And I'm not complaining about the service or anything. I just canceled it. I mean, because I am a movie buff. I love movies. I think movies are just great. And I do have over 200 or 300 movies of my own. And I do a lot of purchasing of movies, you know, DVD, Blu-ray. I purchase a lot of movies because I've always been a movie lover. I just love movies. I mean, one of these days I'm going to have guests on my show who can, you know, we're going to have one of those things, movie trivia, something like that, because I love movies, old movies, new movies, just movies in general. You know, it's great. It's great. And like I said before, I have no beef with Netflix when I canceled. I just canceled. And I told myself I didn't need it. I really didn't, you know, because a lot of the movies that were on that Netflix were offering, I had them right here in my studio. You know, so why pay for something I've already gotten? You know, because I'm a movie buff. I mean, if there's one hobby that I have, and that hobby is just, you know, collecting movies. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we've been just talking about federal crime sharing your Netflix password. Wow, 347-857-1762. If that doesn't get a lot of response, folks, I don't know what. Wow. Wow, that is something. What about Facebook? Okay, all right. Man, that is something.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Yeah, and I do think that Chicagoans are overtaxed. We are totally overtaxed. Chicago, the state of Illinois, is so overtaxed, it's ridiculous. And you know what, folks? They want to tax us some more. And they're trying to justify all of this. I don't see how you can justify taking money from those who do not have any and just say, shut up and pay up. That's what it sounds like to me. Shut up and pay it, or shut up and move. They don't want you to move out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, because they know if you move, you're going to be taking your tax dollars with you. You know, if you decide to move and you take your tax dollars with you, the people who stay are going to have to make up that revenue. So Chicago, Illinois, we are totally overtaxed, and I don't like it. They don't like it. We don't like it. And these guys in the legislature over here, they're trying to come up with more tax hikes. We are the most we're so overtaxed that the country is falling off a cliff, and they want to tax us more. And I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. It is like shut up and pay up. And that's wrong. Where are these taxes going? They're going to pensions. They're going to schools. Pensions like teachers, principals, retirees, police, fire department, greedy unions, greedy workers. You know, this is crazy. I mean, I don't want to be paying for somebody to retire. I don't want to be paying for teachers who, for bad teachers, put it that way. I don't want to be paying for greedy union members. I just, you know, I just feel like I just don't want to be paying these things. But, you know, I don't know. It's just like shut up and pay up. You know, we are totally overtaxed and overburdened with taxes. And the politicians, you know, they're not listening. They don't care. Shut up and pay up. That's all they can say, you know. And it's awful. It is totally awful. And something has to be done. Something has to be done. We'll find out. All righty. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Open eyes.
Too often, especially in the city of Chicago, of what I'm about to say, this happens too damn often. Whereas a young girl who's pregnant, 9 months pregnant or more, goes and have her baby, not at a hospital, not at a doctor's office, but in her house or an alleyway or something, and then abandons the baby. And this happened. A newborn baby abandoned. Abandoned in someone's yard as the 90-degree weather cooks. The sun burns down on that child. That newborn baby with the umbilical cord still attached. This happens too much. Where young totally abandon their babies, throw their babies in dumpsters, garbage cans, you know, sitting outside of somebody's door, just abandon their babies, just literally throw them away, throw these young infants away, and that's awful, because in Chicago there is a thing they call safe haven. If someone doesn't want their child after birth, there is a place. I think you can take it to the police department. I think you can take your unwanted baby to the fire department and just, you know, and just give it up with no question asked. You know, but don't put a baby in a dumpster. Do not put a baby in a backyard in the grass where the sun is burning down on them. Don't do that. That's cruel. There are so many places where young women can leave their young women or young girls can leave their unwanted infant child. Chicago Police Department, Chicago Fire Department, and no questions asked. They will do everything they can to bring that infant child back up to health standards, and that child will be placed for adoption. But don't leave your child in a... It's just heartbreaking. I can imagine some kids who are now adults were thrown away when they were infants. They were in a dumpster. They were in a garbage can. They were left on somebody's door steps. I can imagine how they feel now as being adults. You feel really bad. You feel awful that you've been thrown away by your, even thrown away by your parents. Your parents didn't want you, you know, because they, at that time, you know, these young girls, they want to get out here and have fun, and the baby is in the way. So they want to get out here and just hang out with these low-life thugs, and they're willing to give up their baby in order to hang with that low-life thug. This is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And it's heartbreaking. It's heart-aching. It's just wretching that some pregnant girl will just throw her child away in the garbage like that. Giving that child up for adoption is bad enough, but to throw it in a trash can or in a backyard or something and just walk off and just leave and just, you know, it's just tough. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me, folks. I will be right back here tomorrow. Join me. Join in on the fun. Bye-bye, folks. I think it was because of the guests not showing up. I just think that it just wasn't my best.